शृणुष्व वहितो राजन् अपि गुह्यं वदामि ते ब्रूयुस्निग्धस्य शिष्यस्य गुरवो गुह्यमप्युत शृणुष्व वहितो राजन् अपि गुह्यं वदामि ते ब्रूयुः स्निग्धस्य शिष्यस्य गुरवो गुह्यमप्युत शृणुष्व वहितो राजन् अपि गुह्यं वदामि ते ब्रूयुः स्निग्धस्य शिष्यस्य गुरवो गुह्यमप्युत.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you. For spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. There is no purport to this verse. We will read the next verse also.
Tatagha valanan mrityo rakshita rakshitva vatsapalakan saritpulinam aniya bhagavan idam abravit.
Then after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Aghasura, who was that personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the river and spoke the following words.
Aho tiramyam pulinam vayasya swakeli sampan mudulacha balukam sutat saro gandhritali patrika dvani pat dvani pratidvana lasadrumalat makulam.
My dear friends, just see how this river bank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. Also here, the sands are clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. Purport. The description of Vrindavan forest as given here, which was spoken by Krishna 5000 years ago, and the same condition prevailed during the time of the Vaishnava Acharyas 300 or 400 years ago.
Hujat kokilaham sasarasagana kirne mayura kule.
Vrindavan forest is always filled with the chirping and cooing of birds like cuckoos, kokila, ducks, hamsa, and cranes, sarasa. And it is also full of peacocks, mayurakule. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here. Kujat kokila hamsa sarasa.
Soma jnana tinirandasya jnana bhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Read the translation again. My dear friends, I'll have to repeat.
Just see
how this river bank
is
extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. Also, here the sands are clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. जय श्री श्री राधा तुम प्यारे की Here Krishna is describing the beauty of the forest of Vrindavan. Later we'll be reading when we hear about the pastime of Dhenukasura. When Lord Krishna and Balaram they enter the forest of Vrindavan. There also Lord Krishna describes the beauty of Vrindavan in a very similar way. The beauty of Vrindavan is made possible only by the desire of Krishna. Everything in this world happens by the desire of the Lord. So the Lord wants to please the devotees in Vrindavan. So naturally, everything is made very wonderful and refreshing in Vrindavan. So the devotees' hearts are blissful in great ecstasy. And the devotees make everything beautiful to please Lord Krishna in return. When Krishna Balaram entered the forest, Lord Krishna saw that the trees were laden with fruits and heavily loaded, due to which they were actually bowing down. And all the plants, they were full of flowers. And the lakes were full of waters, fresh clean waters. And everywhere one could hear the sounds of the cuckoos and other birds. So, Lord Krishna speaks to Balaram, glorifying Lord Balaram. He is telling Balaram that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, Balaram is also Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Krishna and Balaram, Prabhupada says there is no difference between them except only one thing, which is the color of their complexion. Otherwise Krishna and Balaram both are called Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Balaram is the first and direct expansion of Krishna and is addressed as Supreme Personality, still he assumes the mood of a servant of Krishna. That is his bhav with which he serves Krishna. But here Krishna glorifies Balaram in various ways. He tells him, just see this forest of Vrindavan, how all the trees with their fruits are bowing down as if to salute you. Generally, one is put in the body of a tree only when one is in the darkest of ignorance, mode of ignorance. But the trees in Vrindavan are not ordinary trees. They are very special trees. Because when the impersonalist or yogis, when they sit in meditation for a long time, they may sometimes achieve the position of a tree in Vrindavan. So Krishna says that maybe all these trees, they must have been great impersonalists or yogis who are now bowing down to you, oh my dear brother Balaram. With the desire to get rid of their ignorance and get liberated so that they can serve you even more closely. And he said, just look at these humming bees or the drones. They're constantly humming. They go all over Vrindavan, sitting in different flowers. Their humming is so sweet in Vrindavan. Everywhere one could hear it. So Krishna said, these humming bees or drones are not ordinary drones. They must have been great sages in their past life. They must have been great devotees of yours. Now they are unable to give up your company. Now they come as drones to keep revolving around you, so that they can have your company. And their humming is not ordinary humming. Their humming is your glories that are being sung by these great sages, my dear brother. And he said, just look at the peacocks, how they are dancing with great ecstasy, with very great joy, simply by looking at you. And the cuckoos who are sitting in the birds, the cuckoos who are sitting in the trees, they make such a sound which clearly shows that they are very happy by your auspicious presence. They are welcoming you to their homes in this forest. In this way, Krishna spoke of practically every living thing in Vrindavan. Just see the plants, they are offering the beautiful flowers fully blossomed at your feet, and they appear as if they are smiling. And look at these deers. The deers, their behavior is very similar to that of gopis. They are moving slowly, and the way they are looking at you. And he said, this whole forest of Vrindavan has become auspicious because of your lotus feet. Wherever you walk, one can see your imprint of your lotus feet. So the forest has become very, very auspicious. And when you walk around, the grass and the leaves that your feet touch, they are the most fortunate amongst all in Vrindavan. In this way, Krishna, while glorifying Balaram, also describes the beauty of the forest of Vrindavan. So Vrindavan forest is very beautiful. Even Prabhupada says, even after so many years, after 5,000 years, you see, still the beauty of the forest is still maintained. Of course, now the modern man has spoiled the beauty of forest by go around, you get to see Bisleri bottles, disposable cup. Although it is called disposable cup, it is not so disposable, because it is made up of polyvinyl, things which can never be disposed. It never deteriorates. It is so detrimental to health. And everywhere you find air pollution and water pollution and noise pollution, mind pollution, all around. Modern man has spoiled. So the forests are generally in the mode of goodness, and the city is in the mode of passion. So Prabhupada used to say, the forest is created by God and city is created by man. So you can see how man can spoil the resources that are originally created by God. So anything that is given by God naturally is so good for one's well-being, not only physical well-being. Vrindavan forest is most sacred for the spiritual well-being also. It is not only just in mode of goodness, it is in mode of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. It is situated on a different plane altogether, the forest of Vrindavan. But even, generally speaking, of any forest is considered to be in mode of goodness and very ideal for spiritual practices. So the sages and saints would go to the forest to perform penances because it is away from the artificialities created by man, and it is away from the disturbances that are created by the common people, who are actually called as gramya buddhi nam. Gramya buddhi means those who are materialistic. The materialistic people, who are the materialistic people? We call those people as materialistic who take the resources of God and exploit it to fulfill their own selfish motives. They are materialistic people. So they spoil the whole atmosphere. So sages would go to the forest to perform penances. So the Vrindavan forest is not only just like any other forest, but it becomes even more special because that Krishna appears there. As the gopis sing in the Gopi Gita, Jayati te dikam janmana vraja shayata yandira shashvada trahi. So they are singing, O Krishna, jayate adhikam. The Vrindavan forest has become more auspicious. How? Janmana vraja. Because you have appeared there, in that forest. Shayata indira shashvada trahi. Goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, when she sees that you have appeared there, she never wants to leave this place. and she has made this whole forest very beautiful. Any place where there is samriddhi or prosperity, goddess of fortune comes there. She only makes the prosperity possible. Wherever you find prosperity, the prosperity is made possible by Lakshmi ji. So when Krishna puts his lotus imprint in the land of Vrindavan, then goddess of fortune comes and makes all the places prosperous, and she also resides there permanently, not wanting to go out the place of Vrindavan. So this Vrindavan forest is most sought by all devotees, especially the swan-like devotees of the Lord. Because in Vrindavan forest, Lord Krishna performs pastimes, unlimited pastimes with his devotees. Just as he entered the forest with Balram, along with Balram and covered boys, Krishna performs so many sports pastimes there. Like when there are swans who are quacking in the waters, quack, 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 and all the covered boys imitate those quacking sounds. And there are birds chirping, they imitate the chirping of the birds. There are sometimes lions and tigers roaring in the forest. And when the smaller animals become fearful of those roaring, when they flee, when they run, so the covered boys run along with them. Sometimes in the peacock's dance, Krishna also bends his neck and dances in the same way. Like the peacocks are dancing. And covered boys feel very great joy seeing Krishna imitating the peacocks. Similarly, when the frogs jump, the boys also jump along with the frogs into the water. Sometimes they sit next to the monkeys in the trees silently. And monkeys think here is another monkey sitting. When they turn and see it's a covered boy sitting next to them, and they become fearful. Some monkeys show their teeth, trying to get rid of the covered boys. Covered boys also show teeth to them. Again. The monkey jump to another branch, they also jump. So they perform many, many pastimes. Krishna along with covered boys, so many pastimes they perform in the forest of Vrindavan. And with covered girls also Krishna performs rasa dance in the forest of Vrindavan. So for the devotees of Krishna, Vrindavan is a very, very memorable place. When Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the Rath Yatra festival, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in the center, in front of the Rath cart. And all devotees were beholding the beautiful Lord Chaitanya dancing with such great ecstasy. It is said all the 8 ecstatic symptoms manifested in his body. And his body was turning from white conch, like white conch shell, from that color to the pink color. And when he was dancing with great ecstasy, feeling great separation from Krishna, at the time it is said the tears were flowing from his eyes as if torrents of rain, that all the people in the neighborhood, their bodies became wet and drenched by his tears. There was foam coming out of his mouth, and his body limbs were becoming loose, and sometimes he would fall on the ground, sometimes he would again get up and dance, and he would want to call the name of Lord Jagannath, but he would not be able to pronounce in intense ecstasy. He would say jajagagga jajagagga jajagagga, like that he would chant, and people would close their ears in great fear, thinking the teeth are chattering and the teeth may fall off. So he would chant in such ecstasy, and many people could not even understand Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. Only the devotees could appreciate it. When Sarva Damodar saw this Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy, even all the devotees, on one hand they were fearful, on the other hand they were also ecstatic. So suddenly Lord Chaitanya stopped dancing, and he told Sarva Damodar to sing the glories of Krishna. Sarva Damodar and Ramanand Rai, they were actually Lalita and Vishakha. So they could understand the mood of Srimati Radharani. They could understand the mind of Krishna. Immediately Sarva Damodar sang a song in order to pacify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. So he sang, "Oh my dear Lord of my life, now having achieved you after a very long period of time, now my heart feels as if I have become free from the great blazing forest fire of separation from you." So when he sang like this, Lord Chaitanya became so peaceful and so happy. He began smiling. And as Swarupa Damodar began continuing singing, Lord Chaitanya started dancing with very, very beautiful, in various beautiful ways by moving his hands. And then gradually, because of his slow dancing, the Rath cart started proceeding further. And Lord Chaitanya was left behind. And suddenly the Rath cart stopped. It didn't budge an inch. And then Lord Chaitanya gradually dancing, he came in front of the cart. And then again the cart started moving. Because Lord Chaitanya was always in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Lord Jagannath is Krishna himself. So Srimati Radharani would wonder whether Krishna is paying attention to me. And Lord Jagannath, in order to show that, yes, without the existence of Srimati Radharani, I have no existence in this creation. In order to show that, Lord Jagannath would stop abruptly. Nobody could move Lord Jagannath. Many times, many, many big, stout, what are the names? What do you call them? Men, huh? Wrestlers and those who lift, Daitapatis, yeah, Daitapatis. They would come to pull the Rath cart. Even hundreds of them could not pull it. Then they would even put the elephant in the front and try to pull. Still they could not pull. Only the ropes would break. They could not pull. But when Lord Chaitanya would go behind the cart and with his head would give a push, as soon as Lord Jagannath would feel the touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the back, immediately the Rath cart would rattle and move. Immediately. And then again Lord Chaitanya would come in the front and he would dance. Like this. So in this way, there was a great loving exchange that was happening between Radha and Krishna, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya started singing many, many songs. And no one could understand it, except Swarupa Damodar and a few devotees. And these songs are all like songs of lovers. Very few people could appreciate them. But it was erupting from the heart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great transcendental ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya was telling, oh, my dear Lord, these are the same moonlit nights of Chaitra month. And I can easily appreciate the fragrance of the Malati flowers. And just see the breeze of the Kadamba forest so swiftly flowing here. I am very much reminded of the Vetasi tree, Vamshivya tree, under which you used to play on your sweet flute, the banks of Yamuna. Please come back to Vrindavan. Like that he was singing. So Lord Chaitanya considered the Gundicha Mandir, Gundicha temple to be Vrindavan and the Jagannath temple to be Mathura, calling Krishna from Mathura back to Vrindavan. So in that mood, he was singing. What was the exact mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Only Swarupa Damodar understood. When the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, along with Yashoda, Nanda and Dakavad boys, all of them, when they went to Kurukshetra once, during solar eclipse, at that time Lord Krishna had come also from Dwaraka. That time he was a Dwarakadish, king of Dwaraka. So he had come also. So it was a very pleasant surprise for them. It was a great opportunity for all the Vrajavasis to meet Krishna there. So the Vrajavasis felt such great transcendental ecstasy. Srimati Radharani at that time spoke to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya was now singing the same prayer sung by Srimati Radharani towards Krishna at that time. So Srimati Radharani was singing, oh my dear Lord, when I see you now in this strange form, wearing this mukut, wearing kundal and carrying all the weapons, wearing armor on your body, and you are surrounded by rattling chariots, and there are so many elephants and horses, and there is so much crowd all around you, so many soldiers. When I see all these things, my mind is not at all pleased. Where are these horses and chariots and elephants, and where is Vrindavan? Just think of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there is Yamuna flowing and the birds are chirping, and all the beautiful sweet animals like the deers and the monkeys and peacocks. They all beautify Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan you play on your flute, wearing a beautiful peacock feather on your head, wearing the Vaijayantimala garland on your neck. And where is that Krishna and what is this Krishna? She said, my mind and my heart are one, and my mind is Vrindavan. So my heart is always residing in Vrindavan. And now that you have come here, all of us are feeling a great fire of separation from you. Please kindly return back to Vrindavan. And when we were in Vrindavan, at that time when you were in Mathura before, and from Mathura you send this Uddhava. For what? For teaching us speculative knowledge and yoga. And he came and preached to us that you should know how to perform meditation and you should learn the difference between body and soul. And what are you thinking about us? The gopis, we are not interested in meditation. And now here again in Kurukshetra, you are preaching about meditation and Sankhya Yoga. Instead of becoming satisfied by hearing this philosophy from you, we all become only angry with you. Because taking your instruction when we try to sit and meditate, in fact we meditated not to think of you but to get rid of you. We try to meditate so that we will not, we will be able to forget you. But the more we meditated to get you out of our hearts, the more we got your fond remembrances. So it was a useless meditation. So the gopis, they don't like the process of meditation. Actually Krishna had told them, if you really want to show your love for me, what do? You all go back to your places and you sit and meditate on my form and you think of my pastimes and glories, and in this way you'll become happy. They said, President said, we are not happy simply meditating on you like a yogi. Such meditation doesn't satisfy us. Because we are devoured by the timingala fish of our ambition to serve you. So without serving you, simply sitting and meditating doesn't help us in any way. And she asked, Madhu Krishna, have you forgotten Vrindavan? Have you forgotten your mother Yashoda? Your mother Yashoda and your father Nanda, they become so morose. And have you forgotten your covered friends? Have you forgotten the Govardhan Hill, which used to be always filled with green grass for the cows to eat, which was always beautified by the waterfalls, where there used to be beautiful caves, where you used to enjoy having pastimes with your devotees. Have you forgotten Govardhan? And have you forgotten all of us? Myself and gopis, we can tolerate your separation, but what about your mother and father, who are always lamenting in your separation? So, in this way, she was evoking the remembrance of Vrindavan in Krishna's mind. And she said, please do not feel angry that I am chastising you like this. In fact, my dear Krishna, you are always soft-hearted. You are always very gentle and well-behaved. And everyone knows this. And everyone knows your greatness. Therefore, I conclude that whatever suffering they are undergoing, we cannot blame you for that. It is only our misfortune. Although we are trying to forget you and live away from you, we cannot forget you for a moment. Every moment we are remembering you. And every day we are having hope against hope that one day you will return back. So we cook for you. We are waiting to serve you. We make garlands for you. In this way, we are constantly remembering you, and everyone in Vrindavan is almost at the verge of death. Only having a hope that you will return back to Vrindavan, that hope is the only link with our life, which is maintaining our lives. So if you really want to help us survive and maintain our lives, please kindly do not kill us. Return back to Vrindavan. In this way, Srimati Radharani prayed to Krishna, spoke to Krishna like this. When Krishna heard all these things from Radharani, immediately his mind and heart became perturbed, and tears started coming from his eyes. And he was awakened by Vrindavan consciousness. So he spoke to her. He said, my dear Radha, do you think I have forgotten Vrindavan? Although I am Dwarakadish, I am wearing a mukut, I am wearing the armor, I am wearing surrounded by all this crowd and everything. At every moment I am remembering Vrindavan. I cannot sleep peacefully. I have sleepless nights remembering the devotees of Vrindavan. My mother Yashoda and Nanda are always residing in my heart. And all the devotees of Vrindavan. And especially amongst all the devotees, the gopis are my most intimate devotees. And amongst the gopis, you are the chief. And I cannot forget any of you, even for a moment. I remember always. Because I remember all of you all the time, many a times in Vrindavan, all of you feel my presence there in Vrindavan. Because I am always remembering you in my heart. In this way, Krishna also was remembering them always. And he said, there are two or four demons who are still present, whom I have to kill. Otherwise they will cause trouble to Mathura and Vrindavan also. So I want to kill them. Already I have killed Kamsa. And there are two or four demons whom I have to kill. In another 15-20 days, I will finish off this business of killing the demons. Then I will be back in Vrindavan with all of you devotees. Please do not worry. In fact, my only request to all of you, he said, is that whatever devotion you have in your hearts for me, please be satisfied with that devotion. For the love that you have given me, I cannot pay back anything in return. There is nothing in this whole creation which can be equated to the devotion that you have offered me, for which I can offer you back in return as a reciprocation. So in this way, Krishna became a debtor to the gopis of Vrindavan, and he didn't have anything to offer. He simply could offer only his heart to the devotees. So Lord Chaitanya was singing a song comprising of all these wonderful prayers, which Radharani speaks to Krishna, and Krishna in return replies to Srimati Radharani at Kurukshetra. And all these prayers could be understood by Swarup Damodar Goswami. So in this way, in these prayers we see how Srimati Radharani, along with the gopis, they are remembering the Vrindavan forest, and they are pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan, assisted by so many others. That is actually the meaning of Ratayatra. Ratayatra is actually when we pull the rat cart from Jagannath temple to the Gundicha temple, we are actually pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. And Lord Jagannath, who is Lord Jagannath? Lord Jagannath is Krishna, who is perturbed, who is disturbed in the mind after hearing the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. How Radharani reminded him of Vrindavan. After hearing all that, Lord Jagannath's eyes become very big, dilated, in great ecstatic. So when Radharani is speaking about Vrindavan, Krishna with big eyes is hearing, yes, go on, tell me more about my devotees of Vrindavan. Like this, his hands and legs go inward. It becomes short, and his eyes become big and face becomes big in great ecstasy. This is ecstatic Krishna, remembering Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani is actually speaking like this in order to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So, Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. That's why, assuming the same Mahabhav, he is singing here in front of the Rathkat and dancing in great transcendental ecstasy. When the devotee saw Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy, it was like permeating the whole atmosphere, the love that he had for Krishna in this manner. So, Vrindavan forest or Vrindavan atmosphere is the atmosphere that a devotee has to achieve in his heart. One has to make one's heart like the Vrindavan forest. Vrindavan actually first appears in the heart of a devotee before a devotee can leave the body and enter into the Vrindavan atmosphere. Because even great personalities could not enter into Vrindavan forest. Goddess of fortune Lakshmiji, she wanted to enter into Vrindavan forest, but she could not. Even today you go to Vrindavan, she is in Bilbavan, performing severe penance with folded palms, praying to the Vrajavasis, please give me entry into Vrindavan. And Vrajavasis during this month, December month, they go to offer Khichdi to Lakshmiji. So they are offering the blessings to Lakshmi, so that Lakshmi can enter into Vrindavan. Now you may say, Lakshmi, she is Narayana's wife, goddess of fortune, can't she enter Vrindavan? What's the problem? Physically entering Vrindavan is possible for anybody, but one cannot enter into the spirit of Vrindavan. So the spirit of Vrindavan is Lakshmiji, when she heard from Krishna, Krishna told her, if you want to enter Vrindavan, you have to become exactly like these covered girls. When she saw the covered girls, they were carrying the butter pots, the buttermilk pots on their heads. They were tending to the cows, milking the cows, attending to the work in the fields. So they are just simple covered women, very, very simple women. So when she saw that, she thought that I can't do all these activities. She has a Mahishi Bhav. Mahishi Bhav is, she is the queen of the Vaikuntha. So she cannot give up that mood of queen and become like a servant, like the covered girls in Vrindavan. So because of her inability to give up that Mahishi Bhav, she is unable to enter into Vrindavan. Even after coming into Vrindavan, she feels the same mood of the queen of Vaikuntha. In that mood, one cannot serve Krishna. And Krishna told her, sorry, then you cannot join me in the rasa dance. So Krishna keeps Lakshmiji in his heart, in his chest as a Srivatsa symbol, which is a golden, it's like a golden foil in Krishna's chest. So she is a Srivatsa symbol, residing there, and she is watching the rasa dance. But she cannot participate because she cannot assume the mood of Vrindavan. Even Lord Shiva, he wanted to enter Vrindavan. So he assumed the form of a gopi. And when he entered into the dancing arena, immediately the gopi is captured him. He understood. And this is not an ordinary gopi. Because he had the bhavana of Purusha. He had the Purusha bhava also. Because Lord Shiva, for him to assume the feminine bhava is very difficult. Isn't it? So they saw that although you are externally wearing a gopi dress, your bhavana is Purusha bhava. So you cannot enter this Vrindavan in this mood. But then Krishna took pity on him and Krishna said, no, you can be a gopi. You will be called as Gopeshwar Mahadev. But you have to remain in the frontiers of the rasa dance arena. So he kept him in the entrance and he gave him permission to behold the beautiful rasa dance. And then he told him, you become a palak, dam palak. You become a protector of the dam. And from there you allow entry for whoever is fit. You allow them entry for entering into Vrindavan, entering into the rasa dance. So he kept him there. If it is a big problem for Shiva and Lakshmiji to enter into dancing arena of Krishna, what to speak of us? You understand how difficult it is for one to enter into the mood of Vrindavan. So for that, the devotee has to win the heart of Krishna. But one cannot win the heart of Krishna directly. Because Krishna is very difficult and Krishna's conditions are many. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha yishyami maashasya. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. Then I will remove all your sins. First you obey me, then only I will remove all the sinful reactions from your life. And Krishna also threatens a lot in Bhagavad Gita. Yeme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manavaha Shraddhavanto anasuyanto muchyante te bikarmabhi ye tvadabhya suyanto nanatishtanti mevatam. If you, those people who do not abide by the injunctions that I have given in Bhagavad Gita, sarva jnana vimudamstan vidyanashtana chetasara, they will simply become bewildered in life. Vidyanashtana chetasara, they will become un-Krishna conscious. And in this way they will become degraded in their life and they will glide down to lower species. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna very clearly says, how one has to surrender to him. So, attracting Krishna's attention is not an easy joke. But there is an easy way out. In any home, generally you will find the mothers are more softer than the fathers, isn't it? Like sometimes you want a favor from an MLA. Generally people go to MLA's wife first. And they, you know, offer some gifts and everything and tell, please when your, please tell your husband also, please recommend. Like that. So, in the same manner, like children also, they generally ask the request to the mother first, isn't it? At home also. When they want a favor, they know that the father is a little hard. Mother is a little more easy to tackle. In the same manner, the goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani, who is the original goddess of fortune for all the Lakshmis come from her. That is why it is said, Karuna Kuru Mayi Karuna Bharite Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite Radhe Daya Daya Madhava Daite Gokulataruni Mandala Mohite. So that is why devotees pray to Srimati Radharani to get entry into Vrindavan. She can give this benediction to anyone. She is the Vrindavaneshwari, queen of Vrindavan. Actually, Krishna is never bewildered or never perturbed or never agitated or never befooled by anyone or anything. But there is only one person who can even perturb the mind of Krishna, and that is Srimati Radharani. That's how Krishna becomes Jagannath, perturbed Krishna or ecstatic Krishna. So, when Srimati Radharani makes any request to Krishna, Krishna cannot refuse. He has to oblige. So, one has to take shelter of Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani's shelter is achieved by following the Guru Shishya Parampara very properly. Because all the spiritual masters down the line, they are actually assistants to Srimati Radharani. So, one has to establish the Vrindavan consciousness in the heart. Establishing Vrindavan consciousness is not a matter of simply dreaming about forest, the birds are chirping, Yamuna is flowing, deers are coming, peacocks are dancing. Simply by imagining forest, probably you will be born in the forest, in some forest somewhere. So we can also become a deer or a monkey in a forest. Simply thinking of a forest. When we talk of Vrindavan atmosphere, it is not just a forest. What makes the Vrindavan forest special is Krishna and his devotees. Otherwise, forest is nothing special. What makes Kurukshetra Yuddha Bhumi special is presence of Krishna and Arjuna. Otherwise, any battlefield, that battle of Panipat, why we don't talk about it? The Second World War, why every morning Bhagavatam class we don't talk about Second World War, First World War? Any war doesn't have any meaning. Because Krishna and Arjuna are there in the center of Kurukshetra battle, that's how the Kurukshetra is important for us. Similarly, Vrindavan forest is not ordinary forest. The 12 forests of Vrindavan, they have been decorated by the lotus foot imprints of Krishna. In fact, after Krishna left Mathura, Nanda and Yashoda, they would go to the Yamuna, and along with the covered boys, they would see the footprints of Krishna. As soon as they would see Krishna's footprints, immediately tears would come in their eyes. They would feel great transcendental ecstasy by seeing footprints of Krishna. Even today, if you go to Vrindavan, you can see the footprints of Krishna in the stones, footprints of cows, footprints of calves, footprints of covered boys, footprints of Krishna. You can see even today, marked by several symbols. So, what makes Vrindavan special is that. So, simply thinking of meditating on any forest is a useless attempt. So, we have to think of Krishna and his devotees. And simply thinking of Krishna and his devotees is not enough. We have to understand the mood in which Krishna's devotees served him. And one has to capture that mood of the devotees of Vrindavan. And what is the mood of the devotees in Vrindavan? And the mood of devotees in Vrindavan is epitomized by Srimati Radharani, who never considered herself special at all, although she was the most special amongst all the gopis. She was the best cook, she was the best dancer, she was best in every respect, and Krishna knew that she is the best, but she never considered herself best. It is said when the gopis were searching for Krishna, when Krishna disappeared from the dancing arena, it is said the gopis knew amongst them there was one person who is more special, and that is Srimati Radharani. So they didn't find Srimati Radharani amongst them. They immediately concluded that Srimati Radharani must be with Krishna. So one special gopi, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam. So she is certainly very, very special. But still, she never considered herself special at all. She considered herself very insignificant. That is why she would always, all the gopis would push Srimati Radharani to sit in the same swing with Krishna and swing. And they derived great joy in that. And they would all dance around Radha and Krishna. And their ultimate goal of life for them was to decorate the swing, make garlands and put on Radha Krishna's neck, and sing for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna and dance for that pleasure. And they had nothing else in their life. This is what they wanted to do. But Srimati Radharani, what she felt the great joy is to push all the other gopis to Krishna, to dance with Krishna, instead of she being in the forefront. She always wanted to remain behind. So this is her mood. So the mood of Vrindavan is to put others first and put oneself behind. That is the mood of Vrindavan. Always consider others special and oneself insignificant. put others first, and when mercy is given, put others first and make oneself insignificant. To the degree to which we try to become insignificant, to that degree, Lord will make one more and more famous. Like Prabhupada always wanted to be behind. He never wanted to be special, but Krishna glorified him so much. So a devotee always puts himself behind and considers oneself very insignificant, truly insignificant. Yesterday Mukundata Prabhu was giving class here. After the class was over, I met him personally and I told him, Prabhu, what a kirtan you did. It was like loaded with bullet. It was loaded with purity. Every word you are releasing from your mouth when you are singing Jayaradha Madhava, I said, it was, you know, it was out of the world experience. I told him. So you are telling, no. It is because of your good nature that you see some good quality in me. And he told me, what can a person like me do? I am not a learned scholar, and I cannot do preaching, I cannot do any service, I have no qualification. So when I see that I have no qualification in me, when I see myself bereft of qualification, I become shocked that how am I going to serve Krishna? So when I have nothing to offer to Krishna, that makes me cry. Oh Krishna, everyone is bringing some gifts for you, but I have nothing to offer you. So I can only loudly cry calling you. So that is how I sing the holy names when I sing, he said. Very amazing. This is the meaning of a devotee. A devotee never feels that I have many skills with me which I am offering to Krishna. A devotee feels actually I have nothing to offer to Krishna. When a devotee realizes this, that I don't feel I have anything to offer to Krishna, or even if I have many things to offer, those things are insignificant in front of Krishna. When a devotee feels like this, then he helplessly cries Krishna's names. Then the purity comes in the heart of a devotee at that time. Like that. So this is actually the mood of Vrindavan. So bringing the mood of Vrindavan into our heart will actually take us to Vrindavan also. When we bring Vrindavan into our hearts, then Krishna is there, devotees are there, Vrindavan atmosphere is there. Then actually we are transported to Vrindavan. Here is a news about His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He disappeared from this world yesterday at 3:35 PM. Yesterday. So news has come now. Yesterday was 27th. Yeah. So surrounded by many great exalted Vaishnavas, like Radhanath Swami and many other God brothers of His and disciples. Bhakti Swami, surrounded by the holy names of Krishna, He left the world yesterday afternoon. I personally know him because I met him in Bombay when he came some years ago. He comes from a very high class family. In fact, he did his MA psychology from Princeton State University. And after that, he was like a hero in his college. And gradually, he was so famous that he entered the field of politics, and he was in a very big political position also for a long time in Africa and other places also, many other places. And later on, when he read Srila Prabhupada's books and he met Srila Prabhupada, his whole life changed, and he became a very great devotee of Krishna. And he was a very, very great book distributor, and his enthusiasm, we cannot speak in words about his enthusiasm. When he had come to Chaupati temple, I had gone there. In the morning he would sing Mangalarti. He will not leave any, not even 1 inch of the temple hall. All of the temple hall he would run and do dancing during the Mangalarti time. When he would sing, he would sing in different formations. He would run back and forth. All over the temple he would rotate. And all the devotees, whatever way he would dance, all the devotees would follow it. And he'd move the hand like this, and this way, that way, all the devotees would move hand like this. Sometimes he'd move the hand like this, and all the devotees would move. Sometimes would jump up. They would jump. Sometimes they would rotate. And sometimes would go back and forth like we go for Hariharanam, and devotees would dance like that. And his face would be so cheerful in smiles. So, and he would be roaring like thunder, his singing. Once I had gone to Mayapur, he was leading the Saturday kirtans along with the elephant procession, That day was the biggest crowd I have ever seen. Sir, selling elephant procession, Mayapur devotees told me that generally so much crowd doesn't come. Then they came to know that Bhakti Swami is leading. Practically thousands were there in that position. So much crowd was there. Even his god brothers love him so much that they would also join him in dancing and singing. And he had a tremendous conviction and faith in Krishna. So I heard about 10 lectures when he was in Bombay. We have those tapes also available with us. You all should surely hear that. He talks about the power of Maya, how powerfully he speaks on power of Maya, and how to make friendship with Krishna. He can speak on the topic. He has very, very great love for Krishna. Even from his lectures, you can understand that he is a very intimate associate of Krishna. When you hear his lectures, he had a very, very great love for Krishna. And not only was he preaching to the masses, he used to preach to college students. He used to preach leadership, management topics. He used to give in different universities. He has written books also on leadership and management. So he always used to say, the world is in need of great leaders. And who is a great leader? Only a person who does not want to be a leader. Only a person who considers himself a servant of everyone, he is actual leader. So he used to say, our society is in great need of dedicated leaders who are very Krishna conscious, who consider themselves a servant of all society. So he even preached to many, many kings of many countries, presidents of many countries. He would directly take an appointment, meet the president, convince them, and he made them into devotees. In many places, he made them chant Hare Krishna and made them into devotees. He would attack those areas where no one can even dream of entering. Like he started institute called as, what is it? I think, Institute of Applied Spiritual Technology. Institute of Applied Spiritual Technology. Yeah. So he started an institute and they offered degrees also. And all, lot of allied people, the most educated people would come there and they would register for the courses and would join. And they were taught in a very convincing way the Krishna conscious philosophy. And he has been training many of his students to teach them like that. So in this way, he influenced, touched the lives of so many people and Vaishnavas all over the world by his enthusiasm. In fact, what inspires me the most about his life is that not only he taught Krishna conscious philosophy, but he trained his disciples to develop quality relationships between one another. So he has written a lot on this. He has spoken a lot on this. How our first duty is to become a Vaishnava, become a devotee. That means you chant Hare Krishna and follow four regulative principles. And once you are already doing it, then we have to refine our consciousness, especially towards other devotees. So, four statements that he tells his disciples, I would like to repeat for his pleasure now. First he said, which all his disciples repeat at the time of initiation. They also agree to follow these four principles which he taught them. One is, he taught them that always remember that the success or failure, always behave, he said, always behave as if the success or failure in your Krishna consciousness depends on the quality of your interaction with other devotees, he said. That means when I am going to interact with another devotee, what should I immediately think? My success or failure in my Krishna consciousness depends on whether I nicely interact with this devotee or I angrily interact or I interact rudely with this devotee. That means if I rudely interact, then I will lose. Then I will be a failure in my Krishna consciousness. If I warmly interact, then it will be a success in my Krishna consciousness. So always behave like that, he said. That's the first thing. And second, he said, identify the devotee whom you love the most and learn to see every Vaishnava exactly as you would see that devotee with love. In the same way, see all the devotees. Try to think of which devotee you love the most and respect the most. So whenever you see any other devotee, while seeing them, think of them exactly like that devotee and treat them with respect and love. And thirdly, he said, view yourself to be firstly the source of all conflicts. Whenever there is a conflict between you and another Vaishnava, view yourself as the first cause of the conflict. Of course, you may say, no, he is also in, responsible, she is also responsible, that is all right. That comes later, but view yourself as a first cause. That means, conflict began only with me. I only began the conflict. Like that you view it. And then, if you try to identify what is the fault in me, then you can help solve the conflict easily. And then, finally he said, always remember that the people with whom you are living and interacting now are likely to be the same people with whom you may have to live out your entire life. And most importantly, you may have to leave this world at the time of death surrounded by those people. So it's better for you not to develop enmity with any Vaishnava. Because you may have to live with them lifelong. If you become arrogant, if you become inimical to any Vaishnava, and you cannot look at his face, and you always turn your face away, you may have to live out your life with them throughout. And you may have to leave your body surrounded by one such Vaishnava. And it's better for you not to have enmity with anybody. See, such a, from these teachings you can understand the quality of heart of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. So he has already achieved Vrindavan consciousness. When I saw him in Bombay, at that time I was actually very young at the time, probably it was in 94-95 I think I met him. He has achieved the Vrindavan state of consciousness. He used to speak a lot on this topic, that we have to achieve the Vrindavan state of consciousness. First you have to actually prepare your heart to become like Vrindavan, to become servant of the devotees. When you prepare your heart, then you will see that when you are living in Kunjivari temple, Kunjivari temple is Vrindavan. There is no difference between Kunjivari temple and Vrindavan dham. It is not different. Kunjivari temple is a replica of Vrindavan. Sri Sri Radha Kunjivari deities, they are same Radha Shyamsundar who are living in Vrindavan. So it's not different. It depends on our consciousness. With what consciousness we live our life here. This is palace of Kunjivari. And actually, whether it is a small bungalow or a flat, or a dilapidated bungalow or a colonel's bungalow, it may be externally so, but when Lord comes and assumes that place becomes very, very special. Any place. Like for example, even if it is a broken cottage in a village, if the Prime Minister of India comes to see the refugees sometimes, he may enter a thatched cottage, and they click photographs and everything, isn't it? And they publish and all. That cottage becomes very special, isn't it? Now everyone will say that in our village, through that particular cottage, and the PM of India came. They will say, similarly, when Radha Kunjivari enters this place becomes special. This is not different from Vrindavan. So, first we have to bring about Vrindavan consciousness in the heart. Then all around us we can see it as Vrindavan. So, Bhakti Swami didn't want to go to Vrindavan at all. You know that? He didn't want to go to Mayapur or Vrindavan. Many devotees thought that he may want to fly to Mayapur or Vrindavan and leave his body there. He said, no. He was very confident that wherever I am rendering seva, I think he is leaving his body in Gita Nagari, isn't it? Gita Nagari. He said, this is the place of my sevasthan. Here I am doing the service for the people. I am preaching here, my disciples are here. So he left his body there. And he was fully confident that I am leaving my body in Vrindavan. Because a devotee achieves Vrindavan consciousness first in the heart. Simply purchasing a ticket to Vrindavan and going in a train to Vrindavan and saying that I have achieved Vrindavan, that's not Vrindavan. So, Vrindavan Dham is a Chintamani Dham, where every particle of sand is actually Chintamani stone. There are desert trees in Vrindavan, the cows are Surabhi cows. So, such Vrindavan cannot be perceived without bringing Vrindavan first in the heart. So, here, Krishna is glorifying the Vrindavan forest here. One should not wrongly mistake it, thinking that Krishna is describing some, scenic beauty, some natural beauty. It is not just some scenic beauty. Maybe somebody may appreciate scenic beauty for mode of goodness. Sometimes we also go out for camps to such places, like we were in a mountain top, surrounded by forest very beautifully. That may be nice because it's a nice setting for spiritual cultivation. It's a mode of goodness. But Vrindavan forest is in the spiritual world. It's a replica of the spiritual world. Those who have the eyes to see, can see. But before getting the eyes, one has to cultivate one's heart as Vrindavan, mood of Vrindavan. Thank you very much. So we would like to read out the news which has come. The journal of the glorious departure of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. 3:30 to 4. Yesterday they have sent this mail. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami passed away from this world and into the loving embrace of Srila Prabhupada. Somebody can bring Vaishnava song books. And Shri Radha Shyam Sundar at 3:35 p.m. this afternoon, that is yesterday afternoon. Gurudeva's passing was so graceful and peaceful, as if he slipped out by the gentle hands, his helpers, to board his chariot. Sangeeta Prabhu noticed a change in Gurudeva's breathing pattern and alerted Brahma Muhurt Prabhu, who immediately came and sprayed Radha Kund water around Gurudev and applied Tulasi from Krishna Balram, Radhe Shyam and Gaur Nitai to his tongue. Still, Radhanath Swami had left the room briefly. He was altered and sat down next to Gurudev. Shortly after that, Gurudev gave a very gentle breath, a kind of release. It was so slight and graceful, so much so that half the people in the room didn't notice it. It was his last breath. After this, Sangeeta and Madhvacharya checked his vital signs and minutes later confirmed that Gurudeva had indeed made the perfect escape. As the final check of Gurudev's vital signs was happening, the kirtan intensified and grew in the minutes it took. When the confirmation finally was expressed, the kirtan roared, rising up with emotion. So many of the devotees started to clap along with the kirtan, with their hands over their heads. The devotees were crying, embracing one another, expressing their feelings of celebration and sadness. Then Kalpavriksha Prabhu loudly chanted the Premadvani Pranam for Gurudev and for Srila Prabhupada. The kirtan continued in Gurudev's room for some time. Initially, devotees in the living room stayed there, but then after 5 minutes, they started filling into the room. And naturally, a queue formed, allowing everyone to have a final darshan of Gurudev in his bed. Gurudev's expression was so sublime, like he was in divine rapture, in awe, in gratitude, in love. The procession to Gurudev's room continued for 10 minutes and then concluded leading out into the living room. From there, the departure ceremony continued with Vakrasya Pandit leading the devotees in Sankirtan, circumambulating around Gurudev's room and the institute house. Inside Gurudev's room, everyone except a small group assembled to assist Brahma Muhurta and Radhanath Swami in the Samadhi Samskara process, which is currently going on. We will continue to send updates and pictures throughout the full duration of the departure ceremony. The procession bringing Gurudev from the institute house to the temple will begin at 8 p.m. All glories to the most sublime departure of that great general of Srila Prabhupada, who deeply touched the lives of so many thousands and brought Srila Prabhupada's transformation throughout the world. May his legacy be carried by us, leading us to meet with him again in kind. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Ki! So we will sing.
Anilo Prema Dhana Karuna Prachur. Karuna Prachur. Hena Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thakur. Hena Prabhu
Acharya Thakur. Ahamara Sarukrupa Kahasanatha. Sanata Kahadasa Raghunata Patita Kava Raghunata Patita Kava Mahamura Bhatayuga Kakavira Ekakale Kotha Gera Gora Natara Ekakale Kotha Gera Gora Natara Pashane kuti go matha Hanale kashiva Goranga gunenda nidhe Kotha gele paavo
Goranga gunenda nidhe Kotha gele
paavo Sesava sangira sange Jekaira vila Se sangana paya kande narutama ya Sangana payatande narutamada
Jesus Bhakti Rita Swami Maharaj ki Shri Shambhu. So we have especially for those of us who have seen him and we have heard lectures from him and personally talked to him, it really is very, very moving to heart. I felt very strongly with Tamalakshmi Maharaj also, because I had met personally and talked to him once when he had come to Chapati. So we may feel that why not this Vaishnava continue to live forever in this world? Huh? Such a great Vaishnava. The Vaishnavas are of such great quality that we never want to see them leaving this world. Huh? Especially we don't want to be bereft of their association. Huh? On the other hand, one feels a great joy to see that how this Vaishnava lived successfully his entire life, and how he departed successfully with such great consciousness. You know, Bhakti Swami was telling just before leaving, we were reading in the morning today, he said, because this cancer, this disease causes such pain, he said, this can never get better, this is only getting worse, he said. But so it was extreme pain, excruciating pain. But then he said, but I am seeing it is getting better and better. And he smiled. What does it mean? That means the material life can never get better. Material life is always taking us in a gliding downward spiral. It's leading us from old age, disease to death. Whereas what is getting better? His Vrindavan consciousness is getting better. When he's hearing the songs, when he's hearing from the devotees, he was smiling even in the midst of such excruciating pain, because he was always in that kind of bhavana mood. So this is a very good example for us, how even in the midst of such suffering, a devotee can be always smiling and always remember Krishna. It is said in the past few days, before he left the body, he gave many, many classes. Every day he used to give class morning and evening, and devotees say that these are classes with the deepest realizations. They heard many devotees used to weep in the class, cry in the class when they would hear his classes. And at the end of the class they would do kirtan, he himself would sing roaring, Jai Radhe, he would sing like that. And all devotees would dance. So all the devotees felt as if they were taken back to spiritual world in his association. So in this way, very gloriously he left his body yesterday and ascended to spiritual sky. So let us all offer our flowers to him in love. We have flowers? And we will offer our obeisances to Maharaj and beg him at his lotus feet to bestow upon us a drop of his unlimited oceanic Vaishnava qualities. Srila Bhakti Tri Swami Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.